Yeah,
correct, that's right.
It sounds like fun.
Yeah. So that incident I remember. But Baba's kite getting cut. And that was the time when the seven realities were published, if I mistake not. And Baba had Norina or somebody read it out while we were sitting out in the compound. So that was the first time these seven realities were made public.
Do you in those days, where were you staying? Were you still staying on the women's side?
Yeah.
Would you ever see Mara in all those
Yeah, of
times?
Course.
So you'd see her?
All the way. Except that I was not to touch her.
Yeah.
And they were in different rooms. We all had rooms, you know.
Right.
But we would meet there, yeah.
So now, actually, very, very few males ever saw Mara in those years, and you were one of them.
So I was there, and then Changu, and later on, Naju Kotwal's brother, Adi, he was small also, so he was allowed to come.
Would you ever have any contact with Mara, especially, or did she
Not
sort
much.
Of move in her own orbit?
Not much, but with Mani I would be very friendly. She would play games with us, so would be very friendly with her. Attracted to her pranks and she was also young, so would be full of mischief and games. You know, some games we played. We'd play Gilli Danda or some little children's games would be there. So, yes. But not much with Mara. Except that I would revere her from a distance. And take care not to touch her physically or something.
So there weren't other boys?
No, no other people.
Your age or anything?
No, no males at all except me. So, as I was saying, we were in Jaipur, so this kite flying incident was there. Another incident was Baba was giving us a very interesting discourse in the room in this Jaipur palace. And suddenly Kitty barges in with a list of marketing and something. She says, Baba, this is my market list. And Baba's having a meeting with and was giving a discourse. Mani was reading the board. And suddenly Kitty, oblivious of what was going around, as was her usual wont, you know. And Baba says, look, from the heights, she's brought me down to a marketing manager or something. Now my mood is off. So the discourse was left half. Probably Baba didn't want to say something further. And poor Kitty was the excuse.
Kitty seemed crestfallen? Or
yeah, afterwards, of course. The usual perky Kitty, you know. She was totally oblivious of what was going around there. And they all then swarmed on Kitty. Oh, Kitty, what did you do?
What a character.
But she was a beautiful soul, really, Kitty.
Yeah.
Although all the ashram people would ridicule her or do anything, she wouldn't mind anything.
But they would just laugh because of her way.
She would do all these absent-minded things, you know, and would be the butt end of jokes or ridicule or whatever. But she never took it to heart, and would always be friendly, laughing. But one thing was that Baba would always be behind her. My mother would say this, that whatsoever happened, Baba was always on her side, protecting her. Uh-huh. Because she inadvertently would do silly things, you know. And get into trouble.
Yeah.
But Baba knew about her, so.
Yeah. You know, it continued like that for the rest of her life.
Yes, that's right.
It's almost like Baba's hand was always there.
Yeah. But Baba's hand was behind each and every inmate, you know. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, nobody could stay in the ashram with Baba. Mm-hmm. Unless Baba himself was behind you.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very rough and tough life, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It was no easy going place there.
Yeah.
So unless Baba was behind you, you had no chance there.
Yeah.
You'd be swept away, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Do you remember any the Jaipur times, any personal contacts with Baba, or Baba ever discipline you, or ever compliment you, or anything like that?
No, nothing of that kind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it was an eventful stay in the sense that we had these outings of all these places of interest.
Yeah.
And we visited many beautiful places, but I can't recollect now.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a few of them, big palaces and ancient buildings of particular architecture, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Very distinct architecture, the Rajputana style.
Yeah, I've heard about the Rajput kingdoms, all these things,
yes,
but
yes.
I've never
very,
been there.
Very brave and chivalrous tribe of Hindus.
Mm-hmm.
So from Jaipur, then I think it was time for my school to reopen, and we were sent back again to Bangalore.
Mm-hmm.
And we continued on our stay there. And Erich used to give me tuition, I remember.
Give you what?
Tuition to help me in my studies, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I would secure good marks in my school. And there I had I was weak in my second language, which was Urdu. Either we had to take Urdu or Persian. So Urdu was the easier, having Hindi words in it. But the script was Arabic script. So they kept a special tutor for me. Yeah. So I remember that.
Would your mother ever report to Baba your grades in school or tell that sort of thing? Did you ever get input from Baba on studying hard or?
No, I would get letters sometimes from Baba. I have a couple of old letters, written by Mani and signed by Baba.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Old time letters.
Uh-huh. That must have been a high point during those times that you were living away.
Yeah, that's right. We would want to have news from Baba's end. Baba would keep us informed, either with theories or letters or whatever. So that was our stay in Bangalore. And at that time, the war was coming to a very critical stage. So, and the Japanese were advancing very fast. They had overrun Burma completely and were at the eastern borders of India.
Mm.
And the Calcutta was also, I think, under attack or something, being the eastern front of India. So my father was a bit anxious because he was with Baba at that time, traveling with Baba. And the family was here, right way down south. And Baba was at that time in Dehradun. Of course we were in readiness because we were awaiting Baba's call. Any time we would have to leave. So the whole house was all ready for being left behind, and all the the luggage was packed and in readiness. But we continued to stay on month after month, not receiving any message. So having only a few couple of clothes to wear and everything else packed so that we could start out within 24 hours of receiving Baba's call. So he kept us in readiness, as it were. And suddenly we received one day a telegram from Baba saying that, now come to Dehradun. Mm-hmm. So we were in readiness, and school leaving certificate was taken by Hiraj from the school for both me and Sarva.
Yeah.
And then we started on this long journey from Bangalore right north to Dehradun. And it was wartime days. So I remember we got stuck in Secunderabad on the way. We had to change trains there to catch the train for the north. And for 3 days we couldn't get any connection. And there was blackout during the night. So we were all the while in the Secunderabad waiting room on the platform with all our luggage and all over there.
For 3 days?
Yeah. Then from Secunderabad we went on to Delhi. Delhi was in pitch black when we arrived there in the night because some air raid exercises were going on. So there was the danger of Japanese bombing the capital, you know. And then from there, Baba said no sightseeing. So we never went, except at Delhi, we went to the Red Fort because we had no connection that day for the Dehradun Express. So the next day we were to go in. So we had this time. So we remember going in a tonga to all these places.
You had never been to Delhi before?
No, that was the only time I visited Delhi. First and last time.
Yeah. Now, you know, I had not realized how imminent the threat of the Japanese invasion
was
for India.
Very, very close it was. Yeah. And the Japanese could have overrun India without
easily.
Because most of the war effort was on the Western Front, you know, because Germany was pressing hard that time.
Yeah.
And the Indian troops were fighting the German battles for the British in Africa and Arabia and all these places. So of course there was some strength here, but the Japanese were in full force then. So they could have done serious damage. I remember one thing in Bangalore. Baba took us to Mysore. I forgot to mention that while in Dehradun, I now recollect this little incident. Baba took us to Mysore. Mysore was the state capital of Mysore state, as it was called then. The Maharaja of Mysore had his headquarters in Mysore. Bangalore was the British headquarters, the cantonment, as it were. And Mysore was the capital of the Maharaja of Mysore. Baba took us to Mysore, and it was the time of Dasara. And at Dasara, Mysore, it becomes a tourist attraction even to this day.
What is Dasara?
Dasara is the day when Ram achieved victory over Ravan.
Right.
So it's the 10th day of that particular month. Das means 10. So Dasara is celebrated there. So the victory of good over evil, as it is. So it's a big occasion. And the Maharaja of Mysore comes out in a procession on elephants. the richly decorated elephants, bejeweled and decorated, and he would be on top of. There's a big sort of palanquin or what I know.
Yeah,
and the Maharaja sits on that, and then he goes through the streets of Mysore. So Baba had booked an old palace in Mysore for us to stay there. And we were there, and then he took us to this place from where the procession would wend its way. And we remember it was a great procession.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so Baba was there watching his procession.
Baba would want to be where all this crowds are there. Most of his work you would see would be with crowds. Yeah, so
either crowds or seclusion.
Yeah. No midway. So I remember this, and then it was the time they had decorated the whole palace with lights. So it was a beautiful sight. And the whole Chamundi Hill was there. I remember, yes.
I guess Mysore would be an appropriate place because that battle with Ravana was, according to legend, fought down there at Ceylon.
Down in the south.
Yeah.
So in the south, the Ram tradition is there.
Very strong.
So Baba was there. And a funny incident occurred in that palace which we were kept. My sisters tells me that they had to prepare hot water for Baba. Baba would have his bath early in the morning at 4 o'clock, so they had to get up at 3 to heat the water. And it was winter season, I think early November or so. Sometimes Dasera comes late, sometimes early. Probably it must be the cold days. And so there was this kerosene stove. There was kerosene kept by Irish there, and so to heat up the water. And then my sisters, both sisters went there, they put the kerosene in the stove and tried to light it, but it wouldn't light up. It was this pressure stove, you know, pumping. Instead of the flame coming out, there would be this little jet of the oil flowing through. They wouldn't know what's wrong, and Baba started getting restless. Where is my hot water? So then they said, Baba, but we can't get the stove lighted up. So Baba was very angry. He says, You're all nitwits, can't even light a kerosene stove. So he sent Erich over. And then Erich said, he examined the thing and he found that it was water and not kerosene. So what had happened was that Khorshed had got up early. She wanted to go to the toilet. And this kerosene was kept in a pot, you know. She thought that was the water pot. She took that thing.
Oh my.
And she must have used the kerosene as well. And put the water pot. And the water pot was adjacent to it. So instead of the kerosene, the kerosene was used up instead of the water. And they used the water instead of the kerosene. Baba was frantic for all the delay that was occurring. And then Khorshed got a lot of firing for messing up the whole thing. And she was then all stinking of kerosene. All these mix-ups would take place.
Oh, that's funny.
So that was, and then Baba took us to Vrindavan. The highlight of that stay was the Vrindavan Gardens.
Oh.
They were world famous at that time. Some German engineer had come there and had built these gardens. There was this dam there on the Kaveri River. It was a big river there. And And the water was, of course, in plentiful supply. So at the base of the dam, on the dry side, was this Vrindavan Gardens.
Mm.
And it really, it was a sight, an unforgettable sight.
Really?
In the nights, it would become like a paradise sort of thing. With all different types of colored lights from the fountains.
Oh.
Yes, it was a really wonderful sight.
So it had gardens and fountains and
yeah.
all these things.
All these colored fountains with different colors playing, and it was a beautiful sight. And Baba was taking us around in the night. Like a fairy land.
Well, it must have been to be with Baba and that.
Yeah.
What a memory.
Yeah. Whole place was lighted up.
Yeah.
Especially because of the Dasara festival.
Oh, that's the best time.
So that time it was a beautiful place, I remember. So that was one of the highlights of the visit.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you thought of these, the Mysore swing.
So I think we'll break now.
Okay. All right, it's June 8th afternoon, resuming from this morning's taping session where Nirwan has been talking about times of Baba in Mysore in 1940.
Yeah. Jai Baba. So while we are still in Mysore, I remember one more incident in Bangalore, which is a little humorous, at the same time instructive, because it depicts how Baba is always taking care of all of us. So in Bangalore, my sister Manu and Katie were given the job of cooking for the ashram in turns. So one day it would be Manu's turn, the next day it would be Katie's turn. And of course my mother and my aunt Ulamasi, they also had to assist in the kitchen, or preparing chapatis, and because there were quite a few people in the ashram at that time. About 30 or 40 women were staying with Baba, and quite a lot of food had to be prepared daily. Of course there were Westerners too, and Kitty was a help also in the kitchen, but the main brunt of the cooking work fell on Manu and Katie. So they would cook in turns. And my other sister Meru, only the other day my sister Manu mentioned that Meru was given the duty of attending to Baba's personal work, like washing his clothes, attending to the cleaning of his room, and all such personal items. So Manu says that one day Baba suddenly came up from behind and held her, and said she was a little nervous, and Baba says, "Do you feel anything that I've given all my personal work to your sister Meru, and you have to do this kitchen work?" So first she said she was so taken aback with this, she didn't know what to reply, because she never had any such thought. Whatever Baba would give was just good enough for us in those days. Such was Baba's influence, or whatever you may call it, that whatever he asked us to do was the thing to be done, was the thing that we enjoyed doing. So Manu was suddenly taken aback by this question, and then she composed herself and said, "No, Baba, what you give, what this is your order, and I feel that what I do here would please you most, and I'm very happy about this." I didn't even have any thought about not being given any personal work or some such thing. And Baba seemed to be extremely pleased with the answer. Because there were some ashram inmates who would be little cross if they didn't get Baba's personal work or something. So Baba wanted to know her mind. Of course, he knew everybody's mind. He would always want us to speak it out. So only about 2 or 3 days back, he recollected this incident in Bangalore. So as I was saying, she was had to do the cooking job, you know. And she had become quite expert in cooking. Even my other sister, Meru, used to cook very well. In the later years, she cooked for Baba. We'll come to that later, if Baba willing. So, one day, Baba's mother happened to come into Bangalore on the links, and at that time, the regimen of food was extremely strict, very strict vegetarian food, and there were no spices. Only salt and pepper would be the spices that were used, and some little garlic or ginger, but extremely limited, and very bland food. That was the order of the day. Day in and day out, it would be bland food. And Baba's mother had a taste for good food, you know. So she had a zest in life. She was a lively personality, and very outspoken, very intelligent, and liked the good things. So she got a little bored with this daily routine of bland food. So one day she tells my sister Manu, she calls her and tells her, "Look, I'm sick of this food every day. I would like to have some nice spicy patia." Patia is a sort of vegetable sauce, you know, which the Parsis prepare with mainly with dal and rice. It's a nice combination. It's a sour, sweet thing with spices and vegetables, and it's a thoroughly enjoyable dish, of course, and has a good aroma to it. Shirinmaya suddenly had a desire to have that patia, as we call it in Gujarati. So Manu said, "Yes, mother, sure, I will do it with all my heart." And she goes and does this. And from somewhere she could get the little additional spices that were required and prepare a nice tasty patia. And then at lunchtime, she got the tray with the dish prepared and walked in. The mother was awaiting her, and she says, "Yes, I smell something good today after many days. Today I'll have a nice feast." So Mamu says, "Yes, mother, I'm sure you'll enjoy it. I've done it with all my heart in it." So she places it on the table, and then mother, very impatiently, opens the lid, and she's really into it. And as she's taking the first morsel, as expected, Baba was on the scene. There enters Baba. And at that time, although Baba was silent, he would utter the sound of oom, oom, like that. So from the distance, he just said, "Oom." And everybody turned, and there was Baba in the doorway. And he says, "I smell something unusual today. What's cooking?" So Manu says, "Baba, mother asked me to prepare patia for her." "What? Patia? With whose order you did that?" So she says, "Baba, mother asked. Don't you know my mother is not well, that you shouldn't do such things? Let me see what you've done." And he has a little taste of it. "You prepared this spicy thing for my mother? you have no sense in your head. He catches hold of her from the collar of her shirt and goes and bangs her head against the wall with a loud thud, as it were. And Jirinmaya also got scared a bit. She started shouting, "Mero, leave that girl alone. It's I who ordered her to get that patia for me. I was sick of this food daily." And Baba says, "Mother, you're not well. Doctors advised you not to eat such things, and it's my order besides that no spices. How has come this happened?" And then he was just going on Manu, as it were, not caring for mother.
Taking it out of mind.
Yeah. "And you are the one who will kill my mother. You have no care for my mother. You don't know what you are doing," and this and that. And Manu was really scared. But then he goes back and says, "Let me see how it is." And then he took one morsel after the other and finished those. And then Baba's mother says, "Mero, I know you like patia. I know your taste. And if you had told me, I would have asked her to prepare extra for you. Must you come and eat away all my things?" "No, mother, this is not good for you. You should never do it." So you see, although Baba allowed her liberties, but he wouldn't allow her to take liberties with the orders in the ashram. And so when it was bland food, so mother was not to violate that order also. And he came in the nick of time to save her from that little violation that could have happened.
What a marvelous actor Baba seems to have
been. Baba's, all the acts were so natural and so spontaneous, as if it was all in the flow of things. Nothing unnatural, as if he happened to come then and was there. So that's how it was. I think we should go for Sharma, but then we'll finish it after, alright?
Second. Okay, we're on again.
Jai Baba.
Jai Baba.
Yes, so as I was saying, we were in Bangalore, and those were the war years. The years when the war was in full swing and the Japanese had overrun the entire territory of Burma and were on the eastern borders of India. So it was a very critical time, and there was great panic. Even Visakhapatnam, which was quite close by, they had sighted a Japanese submarine or something. So there was a great scare in the population and in the public. And there was movement from one place to the other. People were trying to go out into the villages, and there was great unrest and scare. So we were there in Bangalore, and Baba had told us that we should be in readiness for his call. Whenever his call came, we should be able to move out in 24 hours. So we kept everything ready, everything was packed, and we carried on life as usual. I was attending school, at home, everything was in the state of readiness. As soon as Baba's call came, we just set forth. And we were continuing like this for months on end, with just a couple of clothes to carry on, everything else packed in trunks, all the main things packed up, just essential things kept out for our daily use. Eventually, we did get a telegram that we should come and join Baba at Dehradun. So then I had to be taken out of school, and the school leaving certificate for me and Sarwar. Sarwar was with us still. And then we started forth Baba was in Dehradun then. So it was a long journey. Bangalore, almost the south of India, and Dehradun, right up north. So quite a few hundred miles. And traveling those days was very difficult because of the war effort. Railways were mostly doing military duty, hauling military cargo and hauling troops in place of passengers. So very restricted number of trains were there for passenger use, for the public. So it was a great job to travel in those days. Very difficult. And the trains were overcrowded. As there was panic, as I said, so the trains were jam-packed. All the trains that were available were just packed with people. And even in those trains, several of the carriages were reserved for the military, in which you couldn't enter. So
getting a ticket would be a real job in itself.
Very difficult. But somehow we could manage tickets and we got on with all that baggage. But we had to put the baggage in the special brake van where it was stored, and then we set forth. And we reached Secunderabad on the way. There we couldn't get a connecting train. So I remember we were stranded at Secunderabad railway station for 3 days and three nights. And we couldn't go out of the station. There was a scare everywhere. And there was blackout in the night. There would be hardly any lights around because of the scare of Japanese bombers coming and bombing big cities. I remember that. And then, but however, Erich had made our stay there very enjoyable. He would order out good food and drinks and made merry, you know, despite the difficult situation. So
right at the train station there.
Yeah.
The waiting rooms there.
Yeah. We were in the waiting room on the railway platform. So trains coming and going night and day. But we were having a swell time despite all. And of course, the joyous expectation of seeing Baba very soon after a long time. And then eventually we could get a connecting train and we traveled further north. We reached Delhi eventually. But up to Delhi, we had all the baggage and everything. And then somehow, or was it up to Delhi, I'm not sure, somewhere on the way, the entire baggage got lost. And we just were without all our possessions.
These were all your possessions in the world?
Yes, there was nothing else with us. We just had handbags with us and the dress that we were wearing, that was all. And a few rupees to cover the traveling expenses. And then we were destitute. So, at Delhi, we waited for the connecting train to Dehradun, and it is an overnight journey from Delhi to Dehradun. Even in Delhi there was a blackout, I remember, because they were expecting bombing any moment, so all the big cities were under blackout.
This must have been a very critical phase
very
of the
critical,
war.
Yes. So I remember we were trying to transport everything in that pitch darkness, and something happened and the baggage got misplaced somewhere and went off. So we boarded the train, and the next day at about 10 o'clock in the morning, I think, we reached Dehradun. And there we were at the gates, and so somebody was on duty, I think Suna Masi or something. So she went inside to report to Baba that we all have arrived. So Baba looked, askance at her, and says, "How is it they have come here? Go and ask them. Who asked them to come over?" So then she, I think, came and asked Mother, "How is it that you all came?" So Mother said that we received a telegram to come, and so we've come. And then Baba was really annoyed, it seems. So he says, "Tell them to go back. I never asked them to come. How is it that they violated my order and came away? Who asked them to come? Ask them to go back."
Welcome.
Yeah, it was quite royal welcome after a very comfortable journey. You know. So we were all confused, not knowing where to go. We had nothing on us. So we just stood there, you know, helpless. Then of course Baba sent word, "Ask them to come in." So we were just shoved inside. And we approached warily inside, not knowing what was in store for us next. And there was Baba seated there, and he frowned at us and said, "How is it that you have come? Who asked you to come?" It wasn't a very good reception we got. So then we tried to explain. Mama said that we got a telegram. "Who sent the telegram?" Mother was confused. She didn't know what to answer. So Baba says, "You've broken my order. Go back. I don't want you here. Not on my chest like this. Where's your baggage?" "Baba, we lost everything." "So you come on my chest like this? I have no other work." All this sort of thing. You see, Baba can be very difficult to handle, you know, sometimes. So he showed great displeasure in our arrival there. And he made no qualms about it. He made it known very clearly that we were unwelcome. So, anyway, then Baba said, "All right, since you have come now, might as well stay on." So, of course, it was a part of his plan, but this is how he would show it, you know.
Yeah.
The natural way of responding to situations. So, then we were given a place to stay in the ashram. And after the initial hostile reception, we forgot all about it. And to be with Baba once again, we forgot all our difficult journeys and the hot reception we got. And we started to enjoy staying with Baba once again in the ashram. And to be with him was, of course, the only thing we wanted.
To be received like that, would you find that hurtful? I mean, would the sting of that remain?
No, it was as we felt hurt to have displeased Baba. That would be the feeling.
Hmm.
Not that we received a bad reception, but to have displeased him was the thing that hurt us.
Hmm.
Yeah. So the different sort of thing.
Yeah.
The hurt was there, but not the hurt for us, but to have been the cause of his displeasure.
Mm-hmm.
That was the difference.
Yeah.
It came as a natural response from us.
Mm-hmm.
At least that was how I always felt when he felt displeased with us.
Mm.
That we would, as it were, curse ourselves to be such useless people to have caused him displeasure.
Mm. You know, it's funny when you describe these things. I get a. Baba has so often said that, you know, the lover should make the beloved's pleasure is only his pleasure also. But it sounds, and I've always thought, well, how is it possible?
No, it was a spontaneous thing.
It sounds like Baba's pleasure was such an overwhelming thing that you would just naturally want to make him much.
It was the most natural thing to feel delighted in his pleasure, and the most natural thing to feel extremely hurt to have displeased him. So there was nothing forced about this. It was a totally spontaneous experience. Yeah. So that's how it was. And then, of course, we had nothing on our bodies, not even a change of clothing. So Baba allowed us to borrow clothes from the ashram. I was having Mani's little shirt to wear as a replacement for the one I had on to get it washed. And that's how we carried on for several months without anything, without any of our belongings with us. Not even a comb to comb our hair. Everything was gone.
But how is it this telegram was sent to you?
Yeah, so then something must have happened because my father was with Baba in Dehradun. And because of the panic and scare that Bangalore was the next target for bombing, some rumor had come. So Papa felt very scared about it. And he on his own sent off a telegram that you all should come to Dehradun. So we thought it was from Baba. And as Baba's wish, nobody would have the audacity to send a telegram like that. But somehow, I don't know what got into Papa's head. Probably it was all Baba's doing, because the time had come for us to leave Bangalore, I suppose. He had to wind up his work there. Eventually, even Adi, who was staying there and running Baba's office from Bangalore, he also was asked to come away and then shift to Khushru quarters. So it seems that Baba's work in Bangalore had come to an end. And, although he never showed it that way. But the time must have come, So this happened, and then it was the misunderstanding was cleared. Something had happened. Either Papa misunderstood Baba, or probably he did it on his own. To this day, I'm not very sure about the whole thing. Although Erez did explain once or twice what had happened, but I'm still muddled about it.
Well, despite the hostile reception, it sounds like it was your good luck.
Yeah,
because confusion happened.
Yeah, that we came to have the chance to stay with him again.
Marilyn, you really had a lot of chances to live with Baba as a young boy. I mean, I hadn't known this from the age of 8 on, off and on.
Yeah. But not very extended stays, but sometimes extended, So then we were in Dehradun, and of course I had to be entered once again in a school. So there were these two big schools there. One was this very famous Doon school, where all the big shots, sons, and would be entered. And there was another one called St. Joseph's, I think. So these were two rival schools, and I was in St. Joseph's. And we would have this rivalry in sports and other things, elocution contests, and each school would try to be on top. And we would have these big games and all that. So I was in this school, and whenever I would change school, I would be lagging behind in studies because of travels and all that. So Baba would have me entered in the next higher class, and I would have to come up to that level. So one of the Mandali, if it's Erez or whoever, would help me with the studies and try to bring me up to the class level, as it were. And in Dehradun, the same thing happened. And very strict timetable was set for me. Mm-hmm. And from morning till evening it was studies all the while. Mm-hmm. Every hour was on the timetable.
This subject.
So ultimately I got so bored and disgusted with this regimen that I decided to revolt. So one day I thought I would go with some excuse to Eraj and say, this timetable is not good. I must have more time to play and and have recreation. So to have some excuse, there was a difficult problem to be solved. So I said, I'll take this, and if somebody asked, I would say, I'm going to get this problem solved. And I set out on my little cycle, which was given to me there, because my school was quite a distance away from where we stayed in the ashram. So I was to go on cycle every day. So here I was getting out my cycle, and there was Baba again, sitting on the veranda. He says, "Hey, you come here. Where are you off to?" So I said, "Baba, I have some problem that I'm going to ask Eraj to solve for me." "Oh, is that so?" So there was Vishnu Master, another disciple of Baba there. So he tells him, "You attend to his problem, get it solved for him." So I knew I was stuck there. And of course Vishnu did it in no time, and he says, "This is it." Baba says, "Now go back and get to your studies."
So much for your revolt.
Yeah, it was quite short-lived. So Baba happened to be present whenever such situations were there. Mm-hmm. Quite naturally, you know. And then in Dehradun, Baba first time gave this order of people of the ashram inmates being segregated. So we were given rooms. Each of the inmates had to stay in a particular room. And the order was that they were not to step into the room of the other inmates. So this was, I think, the first time Baba gave out such an order. And segregation started. So I think it was the beginning of the disbandment of the ashram in later days.
So it sounds like this rule really made a substantial impact on the whole community.
Yes. So people were asked to stay away from each other in groups.
Yeah.
So this was the beginning of it.
Which happened at the New Life, is it?
Yeah, the New Life, of course, everything was disbanded. So, even before that, so many women were sent away to their homes, men were sent away. Gradually, the size of the ashrams were dwindling.
So, at Dehradun, it was somewhat smaller than it had been in Bangalore, would you say?
Not much smaller.
No,
but it was still in good strength there.
Yes.
But then, after that, it began to come down. So, as I was saying, Baba was also in that phase of hectic musk activity, musk tours. All those war years, Baba was really into this musk work and seclusion, both. So, even in Dehradun, I remember Baba would be in seclusion. So much so that when the time of seclusion began, Baba had given us strict orders not to make the slightest noise. Everybody should be in their own rooms and sit quietly doing something there, not to cause the slightest disturbance, because Baba was in some very intense universal work. So I remember one of these occasions. It was almost the first day, probably, I think. And my aunt had a big alarm clock which had gone out of order, and she had kept postponing looking into it. So she thought that this was a good opportunity for her to open it and see, because she had a little mechanical bent of mind. So I assisted her, and quietly we started to open the thing to see why it was not working. And as we opened the screws, all of a sudden the wound alarm gave out, and there was a big alarm from that. It was a Big Ben alarm clock, you know, that old time. So we were scared stiff. So what to do now? And whatever, no amount of fiddling with it would stop the alarm. So we put it under a pillow and jammed a pillow on it, but the sound was coming through. We jammed several pillows on top of that until at last we could hear a very muffled alarm underneath. And until the spring wound out itself, we held it down. But the damage was done. So after the seclusion was over, then there was that call of everybody, and then what was the sound? Baba said, on the first day, you couldn't obey a small order of mine, you caused disturbance to me, this and that. And then, of course, we tried to explain what happened. So Baba said, all right, be very careful next time. And so that, I remember those days, Baba was really into great internal work. It started to flicker.
It was probably down to the last few
minutes.
Should we stop here?
Whatever, if it's still taking on, I don't mind continuing.
Maybe we should stop. It sounds like